We're live. I ask that the Holy Spirit this morning draw forth the words that he wants expressed, manifest the anointing to our lives, that these words become a part of us and accomplish God's purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name. The title of the word this morning is Breaking Forth. That is a description of what is happening to you, to me, to the body of Christ. That might not be the first thing that comes to mind if someone were to ask you to describe yourself. Maybe you think on a bad day, breaking down would be more fit. But nevertheless, whatever your circumstances or what the mental battles, the emotional upheavals, your spirit is breaking forth into something new. We want to talk about that this morning. I think you're going to need a little convincing here, it sounds like. The kingdom of God does not interface with this natural realm in a gentle manner. It's a full head-on collision. Kingdom of God hits this realm and great shaking takes place. Most of the damage that's done is done in our own thinking, isn't it? That's where we feel the collision the most. But we need to understand the purpose of that and why it has to happen that way. I think most of us would be comfortable being tethered or rooted to this natural realm, which we are, and having a belief system in the unseen realm, the realm of the kingdom. But God doesn't want that. He brings this kingdom to us and the Spirit to us in such a way to break that tethering, that bond we have, that bondage we have with this natural realm, our natural carnal minds. It comes to shake up who we rely on, who we depend on. It's easy to believe in the kingdom of God. It's harder to depend on the kingdom of God for your life. Isn't that where the problem is? So the kingdom comes jarring our sense of reality so that self-reliance can be broken, that we can totally depend on the realm that we believe in. Our reliance is completely in God. We are helpless without Him. If you look at how the Lord moved in the ministry, you can see this take place over and over again. He came healing the sick, demonstrating the love and power of God. But what did He do to people besides that? He would jar their sense of reality. He would say things to them that didn't make sense. He would do things that didn't seem logical. Jesus came bringing another world with Him. And that other world had to shake up how people thought. Classic example, John chapter 6. Jesus has thousands following Him. He's working miracles. He brings a sermon that you think, why did He have to bring that word? You must eat of My flesh, drink of My blood. Speaking things that He knew they had no capacity to understand. He knew that it was offensive to them culturally, in their own religious beliefs. What was He doing? The kingdom of God was shaking their thinking and bringing something forth on a level of spirit. He turns to Peter and Peter says, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. What was happening to Peter? The bond he had with Jesus in the natural was being shaken. But he discovered that in his heart, he was tethered and bonded to the Lord in a very strong way, to the Spirit. So, the kingdom of God brings off offense to our thinking, the way we want things done, to liberate the faith in our heart, where we can be one with the Lord in the unseen realm, totally dependent on Him. Example after example. I think about the disciples when the multitudes were there and they wanted to send the people away, and Jesus said, well, these guys got to eat. And you remember how that story unfolds? Here are the disciples, and they'd seen Jesus work miracles, and they're going, oh, this is kind of a tough situation. We have just a handful of food here. But you know, Jesus can do great things. But what does He say? He blesses it and says, now you give it out. I'm sure they would have loved just to hide behind His robes and let Him pull the rabbit out of the hat. He puts them on the front line saying, here, few loaves, a few fishes, thousands of people, you're the ones that are going to pass it out. This miracle is going to flow through you. Again, always jarring the expectations, the mindset, before releasing the miracle that came by the grace of God. John the Baptist was the last example I want to give. Baptizes Jesus in water. He's there, hearing the voice from heaven. He bears witness and has a revelation that this is the Messiah. Later on, when John is in prison, he says something very curious. He goes, are you the one? Are we looking for another? You remember that? What happened? You've got to understand that John the Baptist, along with everybody else, was under a certain theology or way of thinking. There was a certain expectation of who the Messiah would be, what he would do, and it involved taking care of the Roman government that was oppressing them. It involved political, economical changes. So when John the Baptist was with Jesus in the beginning, before Jesus had done anything, he witnessed that this was the Son of God. Then later on, when Jesus was not fulfilling his image or others' images of what the Messiah should be, he began to question, didn't he? He's in prison, he's discouraged, he's going, man, I thought the Messiah was going to change all this. Ask him, are you the one, or is there someone coming after you that's the Messiah? You see, the kingdom of God jars and disrupts our thinking, and we have to face our own disappointment that what we expected and how we expected it just hasn't happened. We have to be very careful of that disappointment, because that can open the door for real doubts. When God is jarring your thinking, he's after one purpose: activating the faith in your heart. Romans 10:10, with a heart a man believes. God's not just trying to disrupt your world. He's trying to disrupt the bondage you have and your attachment to your own thinking, to root out that tethering to the natural plane where you can discover the freedom and liberty you have in your own heart to believe God and experience his realm. But all of us, like John the Baptist, like everyone else, we have certain ways of thinking about who the Lord is, what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, how he's going to use us, how he's going to move in our lives. And just know this, and we've all experienced it. The disruption and shaking that comes, and the disappointment and things not going your way, is the kingdom of God has hit your life. And don't let it be an occasion to withdraw and say, well, I'm disappointed, I'm going to put up walls, I'm going to withdraw, I have all kinds of doubts now. Go deeper. Yes. In your mind, you're shaken, yes, but you're breaking forth in your spirit. Right. Become aware of your heart, and what you'll realize is, boy, in my mind, this just doesn't make sense, but I'm believing here. My faith is growing in the unseen. I realize what that word says, that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I'm feeding on something unseen. Okay, one verse this morning, Matthew 11:12, and we're going to really look at this. It's going to describe this kind of faith that is activated when we're being shaken by God's realm. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. This has always been one of my least favorite scriptures. I hate the word violence. I hate the way it's been applied. In the past, I've heard people look at this and they say, okay, we got to get intense. And what happens is all this soulish frustration that we have with life begins to pour out. Things have got to change, and you get all this energy and striving. This verse is about spiritual faith, not about soulish striving. It's been misinterpreted and mistranslated. Now let's go back to this verse. What does it mean when it talks about the violence? Well, in the Greek, the verb suffers violence, biazo, I know I'm probably mispronouncing that, means forcefully advancing. Okay? In the Hebrew, it's breaking forth. Suffering violence is talking about breaking forth, advancing into something new. The second part talks about the violent men take it by force. The word is harpazo, laying hold of. Luke 16:16, it says everyone is forcing their way into the kingdom of God. It's a laying hold of by faith. Another definition or another word associated with harpazo is seeking or pursuing. It can also mean that. So let's read this verse a little differently. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven breaks forth, and those breaking forth are laying hold or seeking it. Much better. Much better. Turn with me to Micah chapter 2, verse 13. You know what? You may have trouble finding that one. It's right after the book of Jonah. Right before Nahum, if that helps. I know it doesn't help. Just pretend you're there. You can read it later. It says, the breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. This is what it's talking about. Jesus is the one that broke through this realm. The breaker goes before them. But it says they break out. Who's they? The sheep, God's people. They pass through the gate. What gate are we talking about? The gate between the natural realm and the heavenly realm. What this is all about, it's not simply heaven on earth, meaning we're just waiting for drops of heaven to change things around us. A hole has been created. The gate is open. The veil has been rent. This verse in Matthew is talking about, it's a forceful quality, but it's a quality of faith of breaking through this natural plane and the limitations and the bondages into the spiritual plane of His kingdom, where we belong. That's what Jesus meant in John 14 when He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come and receive you where I am. What's He talking about? He's saying, I must go. It's necessary that I leave here. I'm going into the realm, the heavenly realm, but I've got a place there for you. You're going to break through or break forth from this natural bondage, the bondage to this realm, into that place that I have created for you. John chapter 10, read that about the good shepherd. He's the gate. We're passing through. We always look at those verses, but we don't realize it's happening to us. When your life is being shaken, there is that faith in your heart that's laying hold and pursuing the Lord. You're breaking forth into the heavenly realm. Example of this is in the days when this was written, shepherd with his sheep. At night, a shepherd often would try to find like a box canyon, you know, to protect the sheep from wolves and also so the sheep wouldn't wander out. And they would build like a gate, or they call it a sheepfold. It was a wall or hedge made of stones, and the shepherd would lie in front of it, protect the sheep at night. Now, at daybreak, take the rocks down, he'd begin to call the sheep out by name. Shepherds spent a lot of time with his sheep, calling to them so that they learned his voice. And so at daybreak, the shepherd moves forward and starts calling the sheep by name, and they go through that opening shoulder to shoulder. And as they go through the opening gets wider and wider. What a beautiful metaphor for what's happening in the body of Christ. This intense faith is all about hearing the shepherd's voice. We're going through the opening. We're breaking forth not because we're trying to get zealous. Breaking forth is because we are responding to our shepherd calling us. If we're not listening in the Spirit, there's no breaking forth. So these sheep, begin to ram through that hole and make it wider and wider because they hear the shepherd calling them forth. This hole in the heaven is getting wider and wider as more people are passing through. You heard this is the days of the open heaven. The opening's widening because people are not just simply sitting back and saying, I like this theory about the heavenly realm, the kingdom of God. They're moving into it. They're breaking forth into it. That's what the faith being activated in your heart is all about. Jesus is both the breaker and the gate into the heavenly realm. He's made a hole in the heavenly fence, death, burial, and resurrection. And now he's activating the faith in our heart as we hear his voice to move through and widen that hole. You are breaking forth. Your mind may be breaking down, but hey, what are you tethered to? Is your mind that which feeds your spirit and life? You know, we're going to have the mind of Christ. And as we allow this faith in our heart to be activated and we break forth more and more in God's realm, our mind is renewed. Remember with the disciples, you know, when Jesus spoke words of spirit and life to them, their minds weren't renewed on the spot, were they? Peter says, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about, but boy, you have the words of life. Something in my heart just won't leave you. Okay, faith was being activated, but it took a while before they thought differently and they had God's perspective. So don't be discouraged over the battle you're going through in your mind and emotions. Just allow that faith in a heart level to be activated. Become aware of how you're breaking forth into God's realm. And as this process continues, the old ways of thinking, they're shaken, they're beat up, they give way to God's perspective and his mind. We're all going to move in that. Amen. Let's stand.